Now, we're looking at all sorts of numbers and measurements today, and what we're going to look at right now is how you measure poverty. For more than 40 years, the federal government has used the cost of food, but not the cost of, you know, other items like housing, clothing, childcare. This week, New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg announced that his city will be the first to challenge those federal standards on poverty. And we're joined now by WNYC reporter Cindy Rodriguez. She's been covering this story. All right, let's start with the current standards. What do we use exactly?
Well, the current standard was put in place around the late 1960s. I think it was 1969. And basically, it was based on the amount of food that it takes to feed a family. So you took that number and you tripled it, and then you got a federal poverty rate.
So the lowest, the poverty level was dinner times three.
Basically, yes. I think it was a little more complicated than that, but that was the general idea behind the poverty measure.
What changes is the city of New York arguing for?
Well, what the city of New York wants to do is it's a few things. One is they're claiming that it's an outdated measure, that you need to consider other things. You need to consider clothing, housing, utilities, for instance. The other thing is that they're saying that different regions have to be the calculation has to be done differently because, of course, there's a different cost of living if you're in Mississippi versus New York City, for
instance. So, in other words, if you're talking housing and how much it costs Brooklyn versus Mississippi, maybe.
Right, exactly. So, for instance, in New York, they calculated a two-bedroom apartment to be $1,300. In Mississippi, I think it's calculated at $500.
Hmm. You know, I guess the real problem, though, is, and I love the irony of the fact that billionaire Mike Bloomberg is leading this fight to redefine poverty. I guess the question is, how do you statistically come up with a measure of something that is fundamentally a state of mind, a quality of economics that's much more nuanced than any particular number?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, in New York City's case, I think in the federal government, too, they try to really just base it on statistics and numbers. So, for instance, the other thing that New York City did was they counted public assistance as a person's income. So, for instance, if you're getting food stamps, they counted that. If you're getting $100 worth of food stamps each month, they counted that as income. If you're living in public housing, they calculated that out. Basically, they said, all right, if you're paying $600 for your public housing apartment, the rent on the apartment should be $1,300. They subtracted $600 from $1,300 and added that $700 as income. So it's a lot of very tedious calculations.
Would the net effect of this change mean more people would be counted as in poverty or significantly less people would be counted as in poverty?
That's a good question. Actually, in this case, it raised the poverty rate. I believe it was about 4 percentage points, from about 19% to about 24%, and that's in New York City. There were also some really interesting differences in very specific populations. So, for instance, the single mom's poverty rate actually went down, and from 44%, which is very high anyway, to 41%. And that's because most public benefit programs are targeted for that population. On the other hand, senior citizens' poverty rate went from 18% to 31%.
Wow.
That's a huge jump. Now, that was because they calculated in medical expenses.
So what kind of impact, if these changes were adopted elsewhere, what kind of impact could they have on policies then?
Well, the interesting thing is that they don't really have any impact on eligibility, for instance. And even at the federal level, there is a hearing by a subcommittee, a congressional subcommittee today, in which New York City will be testifying at. That particular congressman, Jim McDermott, he has draft legislation to change the poverty measure at the federal level. Now, the thing is that legislation is supposed to augment, not replace, the poverty level, which means that it will have no impact on who qualifies for different programs.
How likely are we to see any kind of change in the measurement?
Well, in New York City, they're saying, the more localities that do that. So, for instance, Miami mayor came out in support of it. Newark mayor came out in support of it. So did the Trenton mayor. So there's a bunch of different mayors, mostly from urban settings, who are coming out in support of it, saying we need to sort of do the same thing. So I guess that the more localities that do it, the more pressure the federal government has.
You know, in your reporting from all over this city, you've encountered people who, by various statistical measures, would be in poverty, yet they may or may not believe that that is in fact the case. How much of a disconnect is there from people's personal sense of being in poverty and these statistical measures that are very, very important to policy, but again, are very far removed from individual people?
Well, you're right. I think there is sort of a big disconnect. I mean, the New York City standard, this new standard that they've set, it's $26,000 for a family of four. We all know how expensive it is to live in this city.
Wow, all right. That's shocking.
Cindy Rodriguez, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.